Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. Catherine Whittaker is alongside me, David Law, in our favourite place, Catherine, the Eurosport Green Room. It means that there's been a full day's play and we've had lots of hot weather, and now you're wrapped in a sort of blanket, which suggests that that hot weather has dissipated.
I mean, it's still probably about 30 degrees, but relatively it feels fridge-like. There was a point this morning during the day today where I couldn't ever envisage wanting to wear woolen clothing ever again.
Porridge.
And yet here I am in an item of woolen clothing. Not because it's chilly, but just because it was just a tad nippy. I just thought the world had ended about 2 p.m.
Yes. Imagine if you were Kyle Edmund. Before we get on to Kyle Edmund, we're going to be talking, just to let you know, we're going to be talking about Nick Kyrgios, who we've just been watching up against Joe Wilfried Tsonga.
Just been commentating on David.
Yes.
Well,
it was pretty exhilarating. Kyrgios and Tsonga locking horns, going head to head. We're going to be talking about all the other matches we've had today. There have been so many good stories and things happening. A lot of it revolving around the heat, of course.
A lot of it revolving around David Law wearing shorts. That's been a major headline.
Well, you know,
I think that's why the AO app has gone into meltdown, isn't it?
I have had people sort of do double takes and put sunglasses on when they've seen these things. So you can get an idea
you
of...
Look like a ball boy.
I look like a ball boy who has not seen the sun in 4 years, because I haven't seen the sun in 4 years. And if you have to see them, they're on the social media, various programs of the Tennis Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on the lot. Join us, follow us, all that, like us. I don't even know how any of that stuff works. But what I can tell you is that they have seen the sun today, and that suggests that the heat rule is in full effect. And Kyle Edmund would not have needed any advice about how to handle heat today, because he handled it just nicely, winning through in 4-5 sets. An incredible match, really, against Nicholas Basilashvili. That's him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had to commentate on him and say that really quickly lots of times today. You wouldn't believe that I got through it, but I did. Catherine Whittaker was courtside. She was the first person to speak to him afterwards. But just before we ask her in what state he looked like after winning through that in 3 hours 40 minutes, let's just hear from Simon Briggs, who spent a long time out there.
Well, I went out for the start and then I just became fascinated by it, because it didn't really feel like a tennis match. It felt like something more primeval, so I just couldn't tear myself away. And then I looked at my watch and it was like almost 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, we were commentating off a monitor, so we were in lovely air conditioned where I was on 5 Live. But it looked as though people were disappearing from the sort of seats in the sun and just crowding around in the shade. Were you actually in the sun?
No, because there's a media bit with a sort of curtain roof thing, and then there's the shade of Margaret Court Arena. So no, it was quite livable. I mean, I do actually think it was playable today, but it was extreme. And you know, I came off and I had something like 5 bottles of water since then, and I still don't feel like I've quite got my liquids level back to where it should be, and I wasn't even moving.
I was going to say, I mean, imagine adding running about to that equation.
Yeah, it was pretty mental, and that was one of the fascinations. I just wanted to see how they were going to deal with it, and you know, there was a period when there was, I think you tweeted actually, that it wasn't really a tennis match at all. It was about survival, and I mean, Kyle played 7 games of the worst tennis I've ever seen from him. And yet, you know, we should salute overall the survival instincts that got him through, and the mental determination not to give it away when your game's just evaporated in that kind of heat wave. I mean, he was hitting forehands that were landing not only out of court, but actually in the crowd for quite a long period. I know it was windy then as well. I mean, it was also a sort of like a fan-assisted oven, because you had this hot wind swirling around in random directions. Then it dropped in the final set, and the final set was good tennis. And I was thinking that maybe they weren't really able to play good tennis until they could see the finish line. I mean, Kyle said afterwards it still seemed a long way away in the 5th set. But, I mean, the stats for winners and unforced errors have been horrendous, certainly for Basilashvili and up to a point for Kyle. And then that final set, I was keeping track of them, and they were both plus 10 or something, you know, 20 winners, like 10 unforced. And it was being played, both locking antlers and both seeing the finish line and both being able to find real tennis shots.
So there's Simon. He was out there for the full Monty.
I'm not sure we should have Simon back on, because I now have question marks over the sanity of Simon Briggs. I know he says, you know, it's not as bad as heat with humidity, but there comes a point where, regardless of humidity, there is a temperature at which it is not sane for human beings to subject themselves to that. I get it if you've got no option but to earn your living, you know, earn your however many millions it is. But I mean, I respect his commitment, but there would have been a way of covering that match without subjecting yourself to sitting out there for every minute of it.
What are you doing, Simon? But anyway, we respect you.
I think it probably proves that people experience it in different ways, doesn't it? Because I genuinely don't think I physically could have. Maybe it's a mind over matter thing. Some people say that, but I don't think so. I mean, I don't think I could have been out there for that long.
There's no question.
I mean,
question.
Doing not being inactive for that long.
There's no question that people feel heat differently depending on who they are. There's an element to how much you can prepare for it, but some of it is just the way it is physiologically.
People kept on coming up to me saying, "You have got cream on, haven't you?" And they haven't been doing that to the sort of more Mediterranean members of the Eurosport team.
I noticed people kept doing that to Kyle Edmund midway through the match. So talking of Kyle Edmund, you were the first person to see him straight after the match.
Yeah, I was the absolute sadist that made him stop as he was exiting the court to do an interview. And I really did feel bad about it. Usually we're allowed 3 questions with them for a flash interview, which is what the on-court sort of immediate reaction interview is called. And I said just before we went on air, "Don't worry, Kyle, we'll only do 2. But thinking that he would give 2 pretty short answers, but he sort of stood there in a weird trance. He was almost on autopilot. He actually sort of ended up giving really long answers because I think he just didn't really have the presence of mind to think, "Oh, I'll cut this short and so I can get out of here as quickly as possible and get into the shade." And then after he'd spoken to me, he ended up signing about 5 minutes worth of autographs, which I couldn't really believe. I mean, it was pretty extraordinary, really. The cameraman afterwards said, "Oh, was that all right?" Because his head was really, his head was so bowed and dipped. It wasn't a great, you know, in ordinary circumstances, it's not the ideal shot for a cameraman because you're not getting the straight on. But, you know, we all said, no, that was absolutely fine. That told the story, the fact that he couldn't hold his head up. At one point, he had a bag on each shoulder to start the interview. And about 10 seconds in, one of the bags, there was just enormous thunk. It was one of his bags just dropping to the ground because he couldn't hold it any longer. And then after he'd finished and signed all those autographs, the exit to the to show court to back the walk back towards the locker rooms is through this underground car park, which is the players' warm-up area. And he was doing the walk on his own, one bag on each shoulder. I mean, it was a really poignant walk. I sort of looked back and saw him doing this lonely walk, as slow as I've ever seen a man walk. And then, of course, he took a long, long time before coming into press. Absolutely, yeah. No one was expecting him to hurry into press. But once he got there, I was pretty impressed with how much recovery he'd already been able to do. And I was pretty impressed with how he spoke about his chances of recovering for the next one. He said, it's 2 days, you know. Yep. If he was having to play tomorrow, that would be tricky. But Grand Slams, the day off is everything. So, I don't know. He could be bluffing and talking up a good game, but I was pretty convinced.
He's growing into this, isn't he, as well? That's the other thing that I have noticed, that you mentioned the post-match press conference. He doesn't look out of place anymore. He doesn't look like a little boy in a man's room, you know, a grown-up's world. He looks much more like the past.
He started doing afters now.
What does that mean?
Well, you know what it means. You,
for the sake of our listeners.
For the sake of our listeners, it means it's something that I have come to being a tennis journalist in the Andy Murray era. I presume it predates Andy Murray, but my experience of it is that a British player, any player, will come into a press conference and speak to the world's media, but the Andy Murray came to an agreement pretty early on in his career with the British journalists that he would give them a few minutes extra tagged on to the end of a press conference, a little private theatre, just to give them whatever exclusive lines, as the British media,
something new,
exactly, yeah. And they would get together beforehand and discuss, what angle they would try and take with their afters. And Joe Contis started doing afters in the last 6 months or so. And Kyle,
my afters used to be when I would have my pudding.
Yeah, that's my experience as well. But now you hear, Kyle, we're just going to do afters now. Yeah. And I believe today was his second experience of doing afters.
I see. Well, anyway,
you've made it when
you do. Maybe you'll have more opportunity, because we now know. Simon didn't know at the time when I spoke to him, but we now know his opponent will be Andreas Seppi, who beat poor old Ivo Karlovic in another five-setter. I mean, that's now back-to-back matches in which Karlovic hit 50 aces plus, 102 aces in two matches, but he didn't win. Poor old Ivo. All that effort for nothing. So,
Yeah, it was when we were watching Edmund Basilashvili, and I was leaving it to the, usually I'd be uber professional and make sure I'm courtside, several games in advance of when I need to do the flash interview. I was leaving it till the very last minute to run over to court two and wait in the pretty stuffy bowels of that court to wait and do the courtside interview. And as we were watching and waiting, I was just thinking, it just occurred to me, someone has to lose this match after 3 hours and 35 minutes of this. Someone
nice,
has to cope with putting themselves through that for nothing.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't quite get my head around it, really. It was all too bleak. I just started thinking about dogs and sweets and chocolate.
You cheered right up.
I cheered right up, yeah.
Excellent. So,
poor Ivo Karlovic. And Andreas Seppi maybe kicking himself a bit, because he was two sets love up, wasn't he? And somehow found himself in a five-set tussle, did very well to come through it, but I almost feel like Ivo was trying to level things up for Kyle Edmund, even the playing field. No, if Kyle went through a five-setter, you're going to go through a five-setter.
Well, I'll tell you, Andreas Seppi is super fit. That is not a walkover. So who's going to win, Seppi or Edmund?
I think Edmund's going to win.
So do I.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. So, what else has happened today? We've had Nick Kyrgios just playing against Joe Wilfried Tsonga, which I thought it was a bit of a flat match for the first couple of sets when Will Smith was in the crowd and the cameras seemed almost more interested in him because the match wasn't really taking off.
Do you think
off
Will Smith saw Will Ferrell having a blooming good time at the tennis and thought, I want a piece of that? Got on the phone to Tennis Australia and said,
maybe.
Would you like any other comedians named Will?
Maybe that.
To come and have free hospitality at the tennis every
it.
Night.
He was signing autographs. He was high-fiving people. But what a match, because Kyrgios...
It did. It finally caught fire,
it really
didn't
caught
it?
Fire at the end, and they were throwing everything at each other. And I mean, Kyrgios was laughing at some of the shots that Tsonga was coming up with, because Kyrgios would put him in really difficult parts of the court, and Tsonga would still come up with blazing winners. And Kyrgios was just laughing at these shots. But, you know, he was 2-5 down in the four-set tiebreak, was Kyrgios. And he found a way back. He won 5 points in a row.
I'm telling you, David, he's making the final. That's what's in my prediction.
Crikey. I mean, that's a very exciting prediction. And if it comes true, obviously...
He plays Dimitrov next, right?
Yes. As a fully paid-up member of the Nick Kyrgios Appreciation Society, I'll be very excited
about
that.
There is something different about him this year. Whether it's different enough to get him to the final or to win this thing, without question, there's something different. It may very well be largely down to the foundation that he's getting off the ground, this purpose that he's found for playing tennis. It might be due to him getting back together with his girlfriend. I hear lots of those jokes going around.
Naomi Brody with us, and she was saying she feels that people... I mean, look, he's an idiot sometimes. We know he is. But she said she feels that people are just starting to get him a little bit.
Because for sure.
He's allowing people to. And she said, you know, for us players, she says, I don't know a player who doesn't like him. I mean, obviously, probably Wawrinka doesn't like him for the way he's behaved in the past and stuff like that. But she said, honestly, he's just a big kid, really. He's 22, and he's just silly sometimes, and he's immature. And he's grown up in this spotlight, and he doesn't handle some elements of it particularly well. But she says he's a really warm-hearted, funny guy.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice of words. There's warmth. There's real warmth in him. And I think, unfortunately, in the forum of debate, there's rarely enough room for nuance. And he's an incredibly nuanced individual. People want headlines. People want black and white. And he doesn't fit into that. He's an incredibly complicated person. And I think it's largely good. And I think, you know, that's probably as good as can be hoped for any of us. I think that's real nail on the head. There is a warmth. There is a warmth that sort of rides out over all of the negatives. And I'm not seeking to ignore the negatives, because they are there. And when they come out in full force, they are, you know, you do hold your head in your hands. And, you know, sometimes he deserves criticism. He absolutely does. But he's pretty much, barring some, you know, irritable behaviour, he's been good as gold this tournament. There's nothing beyond, you know, a bit of irritation and irascibility here and there. And
he still gets down on himself.
He
in
does,
matches,
but that's,
you know,
I mean,
that's
but,
just
but
human
that's not,
nature,
that's not
isn't
bad
it?
Behavior. That's no, just, it's how, just how he deals with situations. And I don't think enough. I think people sort of take him at face value too much.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
with you.
He's so much bravado. I think yes. There's so much more fear there.
Bit like than, they used than, to with Murray in the early days.
Yeah,
you know,
so,
taking the quotes literally. And,
he's afraid to let people know how much he cares. Yeah. He's afraid to let people know how nervous he gets. He's afraid to. He's afraid to let us see.
To let us in.
To let us in, yeah. And people take the bravado as the real thing.
Talking to somebody who is not afraid to let us in, he plays Grigor Dimitrov next. And Dimitrov got himself back on track today. He did let it go a bit against Rublev, but quite a good win in the end because that's a guy who beat him last time round.
Yeah, I'm really torn about what to know to make of Dimitrov because on one hand, I think it's a real positive that he's finding a way to win when he's not playing well because that's something we've not always seen from him in the past. That is a huge positive and that is something that champions do. However, what champions don't do is give away fourth set, six love and double fault the amount that he's doing and just have
15 double faults
today.
Yeah,
have the lapses. These really, I know over the course of five sets there are peaks and troughs in any match, but it feels like the troughs are deeper for Dimitrov at the moment than they really should be. You tipped me off about this because you'd seen more of him in Brisbane than I had. That there's just something. It's not catastrophic. That, you know, it's not a return to the bad old days of Dimitrov, but there's just something not quite there. And there's just I think he's going to be found out against Kyrgios.
Well, the game isn't as watertight right now as it was a year ago. There's not the confidence in the ball striking. Against McDonald the other night, he was really, really losing his timing. And if you're as good as these people and your timing is gone, that's a real problem, isn't it? I mean, what I would say is he's tended to cause Kyrgios problems because of his movement and his ability to hit slice. He can absorb the power of Kyrgios. Kyrgios is going to have to hit through him a long time.
I'm guessing Kyrgios is watching reruns of the Cincinnati final right now.
Yes, which is the one Dimitrov won.
Yeah. And Kyrgios had been in awesome form that week. He'd beaten Nadal, but somehow Kyrgios had been in the better form that week,
yes.
But it was about the matchup. It just didn't work for him. He wasn't able to produce the form that he had been in that week.
But in Brisbane, it was similar in the first set.
Yeah.
And then Kyrgios' serving improved and Dimitrov's form just disintegrated.
To be honest, I think if Kyrgios is serving bang on, there's very few that can deal with him.
Mm.
Very, very few. So that's going to be crucial. Interestingly, so at the time that Carl Edmund's match was reaching a conclusion, Dimitrov and Rublev's match was soon to be called. The match before them on the Rod Laver Arena, was it Luksika Kumkum and Petra Martic, or was it the one after that? Anyway, the match... No, it wasn't. It was the Svitolina-Kostyuk match, won in very quick time by Svitolina, a real statement by her against her young countrywoman. They were so Grigor Dimitrov was down in this car park, which is extraordinarily used as the warm up area. And he was when I first went down there, he was playing a game of kickabout with a football with Danny Valverdeau, and they were talking not about tennis. You know, it was obviously the early stages of the warm up. It was all about keeping him loose, and then they started throwing the ball. You know, with his right arm, throwing in the service motion, and it was really interesting observing how they prepare for the match in the immediate time. Danny was just inserting little nuggets about the match here and there, bring it round to tennis, but in a really laid back, gentle way. And then the Svitolina match finished. And Grigor took himself into a corner where he thought no one could see, but he didn't see Catherine Whittaker lurking.
She was there for you, listeners.
I genuinely wasn't. I wasn't lurking. I just happened to catch him at the corner of my eye, and he disappeared into this corner, and he was sort of jumping up and down. I saw him talking to himself.
Good lad. I do that.
Yeah,
before
no,
the podcast.
No, it was great. It was great. But it was a real insight into this is a guy that's trying desperately to keeping himself loose is everything, and that's obviously Danny Valverde knows that that's the absolute key, and he's sort of trying to hypnotize himself into being loose. But actually, when it comes to it, you know that he's desperately anxious and nervous and wants it so much.
He
but
does.
It's this paradigm of you have to be loose to get everything working.
But we see that with Kyrgios, don't we? When he does the through the leg shots, that's all about keeping himself loose, really, and keeping himself entertained a lot of the time. Well, what about other results today on the women's side? We're currently, as we speak to you, we've got Caroline Wozniacki, who did have a break of serve in the first set. She's just been broken back against Kiki Bertens. Well, what else has happened today on the women's side? Ostapenko is in a match. I don't actually know how that
I think it's
up.
Still ongoing. Ostapenko contivates.
She had a massive strapping around her leg.
Didn't look good, did it? That came as a bit of a bolt from the blue for me, because I wasn't aware that she was struggling with anything. Just checking live scores now. The match is finished, so hang on, I'm a bit concerned that we've lost Ostapenko here.
Well, we might well have done.
While I check the results, the women's matches, I saw a lot of Luksika Kumkum
against
Grand Slam specialist Petra Martic, who's reached the fourth round of three of the last four slams.
Yeah, 7-5 in the third set. Martic ended up winning that one. So that was a good result.
Svitolina was awesome, as I said. She really was.
But Kostyuk is exciting. I mean, she's
she
going to be special.
Her quotes afterwards were so great. I mean, she's just at ease on this stage, but not in an annoying, precocious way, which is a fantastic skill. Denisa Alatova, who I remember as being one of Joe Konta's victims en route to the semi-final a couple of years ago.
Right.
She beat Magna Linette. And in the Ostapenko match, Kontaveit was the winner, 6-3 in the third.
Well, I mean, although it's a shame to lose Ostapenko, I honestly, the way Ostapenko looked physically, she was not going to be a factor in the rest of this tournament with that sort of injury.
Such a shame. Yeah. Such a shame.
Kontaveit's exciting.
She is, though.
Good player to watch.
She's great. Rybarikova, Wimbledon semi-finalist Magdalena Rybarikova is into the fourth round.
Rafael
she beat
Nadal,
Bondarenko.
Yeah.
No, but I was just going to finish my roundup of what I saw on the women's side. We will talk about Rafa fans. But I saw quite a lot of, because there's a lot of French people around in Eurosport HQ where we are now. In fact, I think there's a French presence entering the room now. I saw a lot of Cornet against Elise Mertens.
Oh yeah, that was a bit dramatic.
It was a bit dramatic. Cornet lost in the end, a very topsy turvy first set. She was down and then she levelled, and she's got a big heart, Elise Cornet. A lot of the French players can be accused of having huge talent and not such a huge commitment or heart.
Oh,
and
she is a fighter.
She's the absolute opposite. That what she lacks in talent, she makes up for in.
She's
guts
highly
and
irritating,
heart.
But she's a heck of
a
fighter.
She doesn't irritate me, but I accept that she can be irritating objectively. I've watched a lot of Elise Cornet.
Okay.
But she does. This is wow.
I've commentated on a number of her matches.
Oh, she's aggro. You love aggro.
Oh, I like a bit of aggro, but it's always her coach's fault.
Yeah.
Always.
So the same can be said of Andy Murray.
Very true.
She does exactly the same towards the
Very
box.
Very true.
It's tais-toi, which is shut up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Venting.
It's just venting. And she's trying to fire herself up, isn't she? She is. She's feisty. She lost today.
Didn't
quite pan out. I tell you what, she does suffer in the heat. She is an example, I would say, of... I've got no reason to think that she's in any way substandard on the fitness side, but she does. I remember when I worked here as a runner many years ago, and my role was to get press times from the players in the locker rooms. I happened to be in the locker room after an absolute marathon match that she played against Monica Niculescu. She lost. It was some extraordinary score in the third, and it was played in conditions similar to today. And my job is to try and get a time from her, and she pretty much collapsed in the locker room.
Oh dear.
Not quite, but she was in a bad, bad way, and she was utterly inconsolable, and I had the worst job in town that day. I mean, you know, other than Elise Cornet, but she suffers in the heat big time, and I do think that was a factor for her today. You know, I'm afraid the answer to that is tough luck. You know, you're either suited, you know,
the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah, you know,
yeah, it's just the way it is.
It's the way. We're talking about Elise Cornet, a French producer has just walked in.
Yeah, I wonder why he was looking at me like that. There are a couple of other things I wanted to talk to you just before we sign off. One is the fact that we didn't touch on it last night, is that Roger Federer was quite outspoken about the prize money and the player union story, wasn't he?
Surprisingly. So I didn't think he'd go anywhere near it.
Yeah, he was very vociferous in his view that it's time now for the players to get together and go and put some pressure on.
Yeah, he said, didn't he say something like, it's a tale as old as time? Or, you know, not quite as Beauty and the Beast as
that.
Isn't
that the start of a song?
But something like, he said it's an ageless debate. Or same old story, yeah, something like that. Yeah. And he's right to that,
Years, they feel that they need to put pressure on because the Grand Slam revenues are expanding so much that the players need to feel that they're getting the right percentage of that revenue.
Yeah, and you know, if they're not going to fight for it, then who is? You know, it is something that may seem distasteful to a lot of people at home, you know, multimillionaires fighting for a pay rise, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. That doesn't mean they don't have a point, however sort of uncomfortable us mere mortals might find it. And look, I absolutely think there is a really valid debate to be had there. I don't think there's any harm in having the debate. I have serious qualms about certain areas that the debate might stray into, and the justifications that may or may not be given in the future or have been given. There's lack of clarity on that front, isn't there? We don't really know. So while we don't know, I'm certainly not going to be firing off any arrows. But certainly the areas that debate has potential, we know, to stray into. Yes. But that doesn't mean there's not a really valid debate to be had.
There is a valid debate. On that subject, Martina Navratilova was pretty outspoken that she does think that a players' union is needed, but that it needs to be a men's and women's union combined.
I mean, I just think that's a wonderful idea. But, I mean, it's just so intuitive and logical and you know, better together, as Judy Murray says.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. On that subject, prize money. The WTA Finals has just been announced as moving to Shenzhen from 2019, doubling prize money, and it's going to be there for 10 years. I mean, that is a heck of a commitment. And that will be a $14 million prize pot, which is $6 million more than the ATP World Tour Finals at the O2. That is an incredible achievement, actually, from the WTA to have negotiated that.
Yeah, I have to say, when I first, I don't know what your feelings are, David, when I first heard that announced, I sort of drew a bit of breath, because I understood it that Manchester and Prague were the two front runners in terms of venues bidding for that event. And I thought, oh, well, you know, Shenzhen obviously stumped off all this cash, and they've pledged to build a purpose-built stadium for the event, more central, I think, to the city centre than the current stadium used for the women's event, the pre-Australian Open women's event. And I thought, goodness me, if they just sort of sold their souls, you know. And I thought, you know, it's all very well and good being lured by that. I understand the attractions, but 10 years, you know, 10 years is an awful long time. But then I read the transcript of Maria Sharapova's press conference last night, and I think she made quite a compelling case for Shenzhen. She said, you know, they were the people willing to commit the most to growing this sport, show the biggest belief, yes, in financial form, but frankly, money talks, doesn't it? They were the organisers and venue prepared to show the biggest commitment and support for women's tennis.
The other thing is, first week of the year, they have that tournament and they get crowds.
They do.
And
that's
important to me.
Absolutely.
Absolutely key is atmosphere. It's got to feel like a big event when you see it on the TV, when you attend it. It's got to feel like it's a crackling atmosphere. And it certainly appeared to be great enthusiasm there. So.
And one other thing, David, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned, because this is one of your big... You don't know what I'm going to say. They're moving Zhuhai.
Are they?
Yeah, they're moving it to... It's not an immediate thing. I think it takes effect in at least a couple of years, maybe more. But they are moving Zhuhai to be before Singapore/Shenzhen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Common sense has prevailed for once in tennis.
Excellent. So tomorrow, what we got coming up? We've got Angelique Kerber against Maria Sharapova in the evening session. Who's going to win?
I think Kerber's going to win. I think it's going to be a scorcher, but Kerber's going to win.
I'm going to go Sharapova.
Oh.
So the other evening session match is Roger Federer.
Federer-Gasquet.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Oh. Federer's on the evening session. Sorry, I think I don't agree with this. Three night session matches out of three.
Yeah, I'm not saying I
Rod Laver Arena.
Yeah. I believe he shouldn't get to night session Rod Laver Arena every time. I will make my judgment at the end of the tournament when I know whether... If he gets it every time, it is absurd.
Novak Djokovic is on the Margaret Court Arena
tomorrow. We haven't talked about Nadal, and I said we'd talk about Nadal.
Very quickly.
Well, he was just blooming awesome, wasn't he?
He was a bit awesome.
His first time on Margaret Court Arena in a long time. I don't know exactly how many years, but it's been a while.
It's been a long time.
But he just made absolute mincemeat of Damir Djumhur.
I think he enjoyed it out there, actually. I think he enjoyed the change of scene.
Yeah.
And I mean, crikey, watch out. Rafael Nadal is coming for you, people.
Poor little Diego Schwartzman in the next round.
He's a good player.
I love Diego Schwartzman, but I really think he might be eaten for breakfast. I mean, Rafa is in... ravenous form.
He is, isn't
it's
he?
Fearsome.
He's
absolutely fearsome.
He's frightening. It's all coming up on Eurosport tomorrow, and we'll be bringing you commentary as well on Five Live Sports Extra. We've got Tennis Breakfast coming your way. We are, of course, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. We are also sponsored by La Manga Club, and Catherine is going to wield that forehand that they've improved so majestically at that wonderful holiday location.
I'm glad we've decided on the wording.
I'll tell you,
David.
next week we are having this match.
Next week? I haven't got a tennis racket with me.
Well, neither have I. We'll borrow one each.
Okay.
We don't need a tennis racket.
temperatures permitting.
Temperatures permitting. After I've had my training session with Jill Krabat.
Right.
So we are also...
She's not a miracle worker,
I'll
David.
I'll tell you.
She is a mere mortal.
She has stardust to sprinkle on my pathetic tennis game. We are, of course, backed by our executive producers, Melanie Bowes, our champion of the tennis predictions competition, and by Triple S, and of course by tennisballs.com. And mascot Charlie the Ferret has been enjoying the tennis. Has Rosie been enjoying tennis?
Yeah, Rosie has been enjoying the tennis, but you've just reminded me that I am yet to receive a photo of Rosie watching me on the telly.
Well,
usually
apparently she's been listening to the radio.
Yeah. That's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, there we are.
Get your act together, Rosie.
Well, we're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to go and have a sleep and get up for some more tennis. We can't wait. I hope you're looking forward to it too, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.